Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Greet one another. Say good morning. And then if children, the name of Jesus. And in Colossians, as Paul is writing to this little church in what is modern-day Turkey, and he's talking to them about their salvation, he also gives us a great definition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at that today in terms of the gospel. I want to remind you a little of what we did last week in the first verses of Colossians chapter 1. Paul was talking to them about, and I just, for us, I talked about discipleship. He was talking about their walk with God and how he prayed for them. He prayed that God would work in their lives and that they would, you know, continue to show faith and love through the gospel, that there would be fruit in their lives. We were talking about this in Sunday school, the idea that, you know, a Christian life that doesn't show change, a Christian life that doesn't show some benefit of knowing Christ probably isn't really a Christian life. There needs to be a transformation. There needs to be a change in who we are. And so he's praying for growth. He's praying for a knowledge of God. Knowledge, not just knowing about God, but knowing the will of God. And then, of course, being able to carry that out. He talks about, you know, God's power being evident and you know, holding them in place. They don't give up. They don't quit on their faith. They hold on. And then he thanks God through all the work that he's already seen in them for the work of Christ and the eternal hope that they have. And this is the last part of what we did last time. It was, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the sons he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Talking about, again, the great power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to rescue out of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of light. It's a transformation. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But it all comes under one name, right? There's only one name that brings about this great power of God, this great transformation, this salvation, and that name is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Where there are thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The invisible, the image of the invisible God. When you think about who Jesus is, he is what Jesus told his disciples. When you see me, you see the Father. Jesus was the perfection, the second Adam. He was the perfection of God in men. He was, you know, both man and God. And he was the perfection of the image of God, the thing that was broken in the fall, the thing that was broken because of sin. Jesus restored that. He is, again, the image of the invisible God. This idea of firstborn in creation, some cults have twisted that to talk about, aha, you see, he was born, right? Because firstborn, that's how you would interpret that if you just looked at the words and didn't think about what they were doing. But look how this thing, firstborn in creation, that word for in the Greek, hoti, that you know, for, it is a definition of what firstborn in creation means. Everything that follows is why I've got it indented. It means that he's the creator of everything. Right? Visible and invisible. He is the authority above all authorities. All you know, and again, I have this, you know, thrones, lordships, you could call it, rulers and authorities. All of those, they're all his. They were all made by him and for him, right? All things were created by him and for him. So you have, that's what it means to be the firstborn in creation. It means to be preeminent, to be the Lord of all these areas, right? We saw that when we looked at the book of Revelation last month. Yeah, he is before all things, and in him everything is held together. So here is the thing. Who's he talking about? He's talking about, this is your Savior. This is your Lord. This is the one who gives you salvation, who gives you that transformation. And when I think about the power that is in Jesus Christ, and I think about the gospel, which is what Paul's talking about, you need to really marry those two ideas together. That's what Paul's doing. He's marrying the idea of the gospel with the power and authority of Jesus Christ. When you try to take Jesus Christ as just a carpenter or just a sacrifice, no, you need to understand who was sacrificed. It was the Lord. It was the King of Kings. It was the one who was creator of all things. It was God in flesh who was crucified. And that means there's power in his crucifixion. I don't have a lot of patience with weak gospels, right? A gospel that says I'm left in the same condition as when I was found. That I'm still, you know, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm still in darkness. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm still locked and chained into sin. No, there's a power in Jesus Christ. There's authority in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is doing. There's two things about that. One is the power to release us from the old life. And the other is the power to bring us into the new life, right? So there's this great power and authority in Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And that's why, again, we have the question, why Jesus? You know, who else fits this description? Give me another name. Give me another name you should pray to. Give me another spiritual being that you should call upon. When this is the one God gave us, and he has all that power, all that authority over all realms, is there another name other than the name of Jesus? There can't be. There can't be. And we should never allow anyone to try to put one in his place. And don't let anybody stand in his place. He is God's unique plan and person to bring us to him. He is also the head of the body. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. So look at this. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the supreme Lord. Right? Over all creation. Over all creation. Doesn't mean that all creation is fixed. It doesn't mean that the creation isn't fallen. But he now has absolute authority over all creation. He has authority over all rulers. And that, you know, Romans says it doesn't, any authority that exists only exists because God put it there. It doesn't say all those authority are moral that he's over. It doesn't mean that they're right or good. It just means he has authority over all those authorities. All right? There's not a place where he is not the Lord. Right? In the church, and please, if there's any place where Jesus' lordship should be known and seen, it's in the church. We should not be making heroes out of men and heroes out of dead people. We should know that Jesus and Jesus alone is the head of the church. He has authority over the church. Jesus, and this is so important to us, Jesus has authority over death. You know, we're all, one thing we all have in common in here, we're all going to die, right? And it's really good to know the one who has authority over death. And actually has the power to raise us up from the dead and give us eternal life. Jesus is the one who has authority over death. Jesus is the Lord of our salvation. Jesus is the Lord of our salvation. This supreme Lord, this absolute Lord of lords and King of kings, he was the one. It says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him, to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood shed on the cross. Now you think of all these different realms that we've just mentioned, right? All of those realms, and think how many of those realms creation is in rebellion, right? Creation is, sin held people captive. Death by sin held us captive. All these realms, spiritual powers, spiritual authorities, right? How many worldly authorities are in rebellion? When Jesus Christ came as the supreme authority over all authorities, and when he entered this life and he died sinlessly on the cross, when he shed his blood, and when he rose again, he took all of those realms, and you can't think of a realm that isn't explained in this, and he brought them under the authority of God the Father. He brought them all under his authority. There's no other name. Nobody else, no one else has that authority. No one else has power in all of those realms. So why would we ever call on another name for salvation? Jesus Christ is the center of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the center of our hope. Jesus Christ is our means of salvation. When we think about all the power and all the glory that existed in this one person, and he was nailed to the cross, and he suffered, and he died to save my life, to save me, to change me. See, once you were alienated from God and were the enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Good Friday sermon, right? Remember that? Hebrews 10, yeah. But think about this. The first part of it is, he says, we were alienated. And some of us were more alienated than others. It was more obvious because we did things that were, like Paul says in Romans 6, that now we are ashamed of, right? But we were enemies in our minds. People don't even recognize that they're the enemy of God. They don't think of themselves as that way. When they teach lies, when they teach sin is good, and they're showing children how to cuss, and all these filthy things that come out of their hearts, they don't realize how offensive they are to God. They don't take into account his holiness. They don't take into account his righteousness. They don't take God into account at all. And therefore, they just follow the flesh, and they do the works of the flesh, and they pile up sin upon sin upon sin, as Romans tells us, leading to a condemnation. Jesus took us from that place of being alienated, and he brought us to the place of being innocent before God, blameless before God. Nobody can accuse us. Romans 8 tells us, right? He says, if God is for you, if Jesus is for you, who has the authority to stand in that courtroom and say, I object? Who's going to object to Jesus? Who's going to object to God the Father? They can't do it. They can't turn over what Jesus has given us. When Jesus says it, it's done. When Jesus gives it, it's done. Here, this is the gospel. He says, if you hold on to Jesus Christ, if you confess. So here, and I tell you this all the time, to believe in Jesus Christ doesn't simply mean that Jesus lived. It doesn't mean even that Jesus died, or even that he rose again. Those are all good things to believe. But those things must mean something in our lives. Jesus Christ died, and when he died, it destroyed sin in my life. Jesus Christ rose again, and when he rose again, it gave me power to live a new life, and it gives me power eventually to live forever with him. Right? In other words, it's not just believing in the work that he did, but that his work accomplished something, and it's very personal. It's very personal. The work of Jesus Christ in my heart, the work of Jesus Christ in my mind. We need to hold to that faith, and don't let anybody or anything take that faith in Jesus Christ away from you. Don't let anything remove the power of Christ out of your life. There's that one name, that one person we need to believe in. We need to believe in what he's accomplished, right? And he says, you got to hold on to that faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. The gospel is centered on Jesus Christ, on the power of what he's done. And Paul, the one writing, the one who we hold his words as God's words, he was a servant of that gospel. But so are we. We are also servants of the gospel. Listen to this part. He says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." Think of that line again. "I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church." What's Paul talking about? Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ rose again. What more affliction can there be? And Paul, you know Paul. Paul was beaten. Paul was stoned. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul went hungry. Paul was chased out by the Jews. Paul went through a lot of different suffering wherever he went to proclaim the gospel, because people didn't want to hear the gospel. They didn't want to hear about Jesus. They didn't want to hear about the power of his death and resurrection. And Paul was persecuted, but he did that. He went through that. Why? Because he knew he was holding out life to people. He knew he was holding out the word of God, the truth of God, the only salvation. They might have hated him for it, but that didn't matter. What mattered was they were hearing the gospel, and for those who would believe, it would save their lives. Paul said of himself, "I became a servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." And this mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now is disclosed to the saints. So he's saying, you know, he's talking about this great gospel, and I always make the analogy of a chess game. God had all the pieces set up on the board, right? He knew, and yeah, Jesse told me, if you want to tell him an actual game, this is what you tell him. Too complicated, Jess. But the point was that God knew, checkmate in 15 moves. He knew when Jesus Christ came, it was going to change the world. He knew, and he kept it hidden. The opponents didn't know. They didn't understand. They couldn't see it, but God knew. He knew the plan. He knew what he was going to do. But now it's visible. Now it's known. This is the age of the gospel. This is the time to proclaim the truth about who Jesus Christ is. And who's it been given to? The saints. Who are they? Raise your hand, saints. Any person, it means holy one. It means someone who's not living like the world. It's someone who's pulled out of the world to live for Christ. Let me ask a question. I always do this. I was writing about, you know, the kind of ministry we do. Out of all the people that might want to do something like in Detroit, how many different occupations can come and paint a house? Is there any limit to, you know, can a fry cook do it? Can an engineer do it? Only if he's trained. Yeah. Right? But you know, in other words, anybody can pay. Who can pick up trash? Clean up a park, right? Who can bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into a space and proclaim it with power and authority and see lives change? Who can do that? Only the saints. Only the saints. Only the saints of God can preach the gospel, can bring Jesus Christ into lives. That's who we are. That's what Paul is talking about himself. But that's who we are. We are those saints. We are those. Says to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all energy, so powerfully works within me. That line I translated, it said, I strive very hard by God's energy, which energizes me in power. That's the way he said. In other words, it's God that does this. Now listen, not everybody's going to be a Paul, right? Not everybody's going to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be an evangelist. But we should all care that those people who we know at least get a chance to hear about Jesus Christ. They need to hear it. They need to hear that the thing that God put together over centuries and now opened up is available to them. That there is a way to change. There's a way to go from being God's enemy to God's friend. There's a way to escape from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And it's through that one name, Jesus. And only people who know him can tell the story. Only people who acknowledge him and follow him and understand him can tell that story. It's been given to us. We need to be serious about the gospel, about the person, you know, that's at the core of the gospel, Jesus. People need to hear about Jesus. I don't care if they're Jewish. I don't care if they're Muslim. I don't care. They need to hear about Jesus because none of those other things, nobody else has a name. Nobody else has a power. Nobody else has a salvation except for in the name and power of Jesus Christ. It's the only place. And only we have the power to give that to other people. That's how God's worked this thing. Now, let's see. Next week, we got a ladies' luncheon. I'm going to put the onus on the ladies this time. Yeah. Invite a friend. And I don't mean a friend that, you know, goes to another church. I mean a friend that maybe doesn't know God, doesn't like God, doesn't want to hear about God. Bring them. Guess what we'll do? We'll share God with them, right? We'll talk to them about Jesus. Okay. Let me pray with you, and then we'll finish. Yeah, thank you very much, Almighty God, for the truth of your gospel, for the power that you have given in the name of Jesus through his death and resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation, the mercy that you've shown us, Lord. Thank you, Almighty God, for all of your great work. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to do amazing. Oh, I just did it. There we go. We're going to do Amazing Grace. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, that we get to see your glory, Lord Jesus, that we get to participate in your spirit, Lord God. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that we can know who you are and all of your power and all your might and all that you've done for us and all of your work on the cross, Lord Jesus. We pray that we would believe it, that we would live it, and that we would share it with others, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.